This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good Tuesday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Lindsay White of Lexington, Kentucky, and you are listening to a special safety episode of Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for April 22nd, episode 897. This episode is brought to you by High Visibility North America. You can find them at highvisibilitysportswear.com. Good morning, Horse World!
We want you to think safe, ride safe, and be safe.
Wait a minute, 99. That gives me an idea.
You got a helmet? Oh, I've got a helmet. I got a beauty.
All right, let's roll. Hey, let's be careful out there.
Well, there's a few eventers that are being careful out there right now, and they're all heading to the Kentucky Horse Park over and not too far from where Lindsay lives. Welcome back, Lindsay.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. So good to have you back here on our special safety episode of Horses in the Morning that we do once a month here with Lindsay. And, of course, Lindsay is from Riders for Helmets. And you guys have been a fixture at Rolex Riders for Helmets for several years now, so we're looking forward to seeing you there.
Yes, we will see you in a few days.
We're going to be heading out tomorrow after the show. We're going to be starting to make our way to Lexington, which takes us about 10, 12 hours, depending on traffic in Atlanta, which pretty much you can always say traffic in Atlanta sucks. So that's a given.
But it takes longer to drive around Atlanta than it does to drive to Atlanta.
Yeah.
But the good news is, Jennifer, you have Casa de Lindsay awaiting for you and some wine. It's all good.
Oh, there you go. Well, we certainly appreciate that. Well, Jennifer, what is coming up on today's show?
Today we open with a visit from the world-famous Boyd Martin, who is the current poster child for how to get injured and make it through to the other side. And then we'll be chit-chatting about what's safe and not so safe to feed to your horse, some horse rescue tallies, as well as a trailer checklist. So no quizzes today, Glenn.
Oh, well, that's good. I'm glad to hear that because I failed miserably the last couple of times.
I decided to give you a month off.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, Tuesday, you know, it's a hard day to be taxing me, you know, on a Tuesday. It's difficult. Well, let's do our daily winner. Well, my daily winnie goes out to our friend and eventer, Gina Miles. She was just on the show here a week or two ago. She is doing an auction to raise money to send her horse, SBR Ron, she calls him Ron, to Jersey Fresh, which is the only CCI three-star in the United States that will take place in the spring of 2014. And she's trying to get there. It's going to run her about $12,000 to make that trip from California to New Jersey. So she's doing a fundraiser, and part of the fundraiser is an auction. And she has some terrific items at the auction. And if you want to help support that, I'll post a link to her auction on our Facebook page after the show's over today. But she has some really neat items that are up for sale. And so you can get a cool item and help support Gina Miles, who is one of our favorite people. As regular listeners to this Horse Radio Network know, Gina Miles was our first guest on Stable Scoop 6 years ago now. And she has been the first guest on many of our shows and has come back. She's just done everything we've ever asked her to do. She's absolutely wonderful to the sport, I don't know, Lindsay. I've never found anybody that didn't like Gina Mile. I mean, she's just one of those
people. Gina is awesome. She really is. She's always so bubbly and friendly and just vibrant personality, brilliant person.
Now, Jennifer, did you say, is she doing the USEF coverage this weekend at Rolex?
I believe she's doing the USEF, yes.
Yeah, she does the announcing for the USEF coverage. So if you're watching at
home,
she does
a great job, too.
Yeah, I mean, she just knows everybody and everything about the sport. So, and she explains it very well. So if you even don't understand much about eventing, watching the USEF coverage, which I believe is free. So you can head over to the USEF website and you can watch all of the – they're covering all the dressage. They're covering all both days of dressage, cross-country, and the stadium jumping. So that would be your best place, is to park yourself in front of the computer with some popcorn or some wine. Or wine and popcorn, and then spend the weekend watching Rolex. So that you can hear her on there, but best of luck to her and helping to raise money. You know, she's also not one of those. She's not one of those riders that came from a wealthy family. You know, she's had to do it all herself. She got to the Olympics herself. She really does work hard to make all of this happen. So good luck to Gina. I think she'll make it work. Your turn.
So my daily winner goes out to Congressman Jim Hines of Connecticut, who has recently announced legislation to require all equestrian helmets manufactured and sold in the United States to meet certain safety standards. And I'm absolutely delighted he has stepped up to the plate in supporting this bill, because it's actually the Kristen O'Donnell Equestrian Helmet Safety Act. And I remain to this day good friends with the O'Donnell family after they sadly and tragically lost their 12-year-old daughter, Kristen, in a riding accident. And this bill has been kicking around for a very, very long time. And finally, they found a congressman to basically to support it and back the bill. So that's very exciting news. And I couldn't be happier for Kemi O'Donnell and all of the family that this is now coming finally to fruition. And it just basically means that hunt caps, very clearly, if they're not helmets, have to be sold as pieces of apparel, and they cannot be like misleading that they look like helmets and can't, and are actually not, don't offer head protection. So I'm very, very excited about that. But you can go on the Riders for Helmets Facebook and find the link, or you can go on the Facebook and find Kristen O'Donnell, Equestrian Helmet Safety Act.
Geez, I met her years ago at one of your first
safety symposiums, yeah.
Yeah, that down in Florida. But that was like, 4 years ago? She's been fighting this battle for a long time.
She has, yeah. I'm just so pleased she stuck to her guns and kept pushing for it, because, you know, there's certainly been support for that going through, and Charles Owen made a monumental announcement that they would stop selling hunt caps in the U.S., and that was as a direct result of talking with Kemi and the O'Donnell family, so that was a pretty big deal. So there's been a lot of support for this, but unfortunately there just wasn't anybody at the political level that was going to get behind it, and now they have. So, you know, some would say that because of the rule changes that it's kind of a little bit obsolete, the act, but, you know, I think kudos to the O'Donnell family for pushing for it, because it just means that nobody can get this grandiose idea about coming on the American market with a hunt cap that really doesn't offer protection and sell it, you know, in a misleading way. So I think that's great that they finally got it to go through.
So
are there
confused.
Many of those left?
I'm confused. I thought that was, you know, long since. It's just because the majority of people do it that way.
Yeah, I mean, until a year ago, actually, Charles Owen was still selling them on the American market, and then they stopped. And if you actually Google, you still can find a couple of odd ones being sold out there, and I'm not even sure which brands they would be. I don't think it's any of the notable, you know, everyday helmet manufacturer brands, but I think they're being brought in from other countries, perhaps. But I think there are some kicking around. I think there's very few of them nowadays, which is great. But at least it stops anyone, you know, because you just never know how fickle it is with the way things all go with regard to safety. And if anyone would, you know, say, hey, we want to go back to the hunt cut style or whatever, it just kind of puts an end to something being sold in a misleading way. So it may be underlining changes that have already occurred, rule changes and things like that. But, you know, just kudos to them for actually finally getting it to go through, because it's a step in the right direction of, you know, being cognizant of safety and making sure that equestrians are safe with what they actually wear in terms of safety apparel.
You realize, Lindsay, everybody under the age of 25 that's listening right now has no idea what you're talking about.
I know. Well, hunt caps are,
and that's
they
a good
look
thing.
Like a helmet. They look like a helmet, but they're not. They don't offer protection to the head. They're just like a piece of apparel. So, you know, they still use them quite a bit in showing in the UK, actually. And, you know, in showing and in the hunt field, you know, people wear really old-fashioned style hunt caps. But they look like a helmet, kind of typically velvet, but they don't offer any protection to the head. So in other words, if you come off, the head's going to bend, not the hat, because it's not an approved hat.
See, well, not only that, most of them didn't even have chin straps, so they would just fly off anyway.
Yeah. Interesting, because 10 years ago, this conversation would be quite the reverse. We would have been talking about a safety helmet that looked like a hat. Unusual. You would say, well, this safety helmet looks kind of like a hunt cap, and that's good.
Exactly.
Now it's quite the reverse.
But I just think it's a great thing for the O'Donnell family, and I'm just hopefully they found somebody to support it. That's really good.
I'm not sure that all the jockey helmets that are sold are certified. Because, you know, you see those at the tack shops down here because we have a lot of racing in the area and jockeys and stuff. And, you know, I'm not sure they're certified. They don't look like it.
I don't think the really popular brand that the exercise riders all wear, I'm pretty sure that's a non-certified helmet, but that's the only thing they'll wear.
Yeah, and I think that the jockeys themselves in races have to wear certified helmets, but I don't think the exercise riders do.
Yeah.
There's the next. Maybe he could add that to his legislation.
Yep. Well, that's the nice thing is once a piece of legislation has gone through, there's always opportunity to change and add to it, isn't there, and extend on bills. So I think that's a good start anyway.
This is the second time in a week that we have given a daily Winnie to members of Congress. And yeah, I know. That's a record. That has never happened before.
That's a little scary.
Hey, before we get into the guts of the show, I just wanted to say that tomorrow on the Equity MFG Celebrity Trivia Challenge, we have Road to the Horse competitor and the only woman there this year, Mary Kitzmiller, will be joining us, playing one of our listeners in a round of a Celebrity Challenge. So if you haven't registered yet to play the Celebrity Trivia Challenge on Wednesdays, just go to horsesinthemorning.com. Click on the banner in the middle of the page. It'll take you about 4 seconds to get registered to play, and we'll put you in the pile, and we just pull a different name every week, and you could play a celebrity on a Wednesday. So that's who it is tomorrow, Mary Kitzmiller. Should be a lot of fun to talk to her. So what are we talking about today there, Lindsay?
We are talking about the Riders for Helmets annual Rolex giveaway, and we're also going to be talking about International Helmet Awareness Day 2014. Yes, that time is coming again. And also Boyd Martin, the international event rider, will be joining us to talk about not only his recent accident, but also why Silver's, and give us an update on both of them. And if you go to the Riders for Helmets Facebook page, you'll see I posted a very pretty picture of Boyd's leg post-surgery. It's a bit more squeamish than pretty.
Yuck. It was pretty gross.
Yeah.
Pretty gross. Yeah, I mean, he's got, that poor guy has more, he cannot get through a metal detector. Because he's got more plates and screws and everything in his body. Jeez. And scars now. My goodness. I mean,
he's out of competing at Rolex because of this most recent accident, and I know he's going to find that a complete bummer, but on a good note, we get him as a guest on the show. So,
Has he headed off to Lexington yet?
I believe he's coming down tomorrow, I think he said. I think tomorrow he's traveling down to Lexington.
Okay, cool. Very good. So tell us about the what you're going to be. You're always there at Rolex with Riders for Helmets. And you're usually set up in the main, in the old indoor arena where they have all the shopping.
Yeah, we will be in the old indoor. So just look for the Riders for Helmets banner. We should be on the upper level at one of the main entrances to the old indoor. And we do this every year. And basically, Rolex has very kindly invited us back again. And please do stop by the booth, because not only do we have educational brochures that we distribute, and gosh, I think we gave out over 5,000 of them last year, safety brochures, so that really is quite a staggering number. We're also doing our annual giveaway, which we are so excited about. We're still finalizing the details, which will be available on the Riders for Helmets website on Thursday morning once registration for the giveaway opens. But we already have Charles Owen, Troxel, Tipperary, and I'm sure there'll be others donating helmets and body protectors for our what has become a pretty annual event and people really look forward to. That's right. So thank you so much to those guys, because they have supported this giveaway every single year. I believe Charles Owen's given a couple of helmets and a body protector away. I think Tipperary's donating 6 helmets and a body protector, and Troxel's donating 10 helmets, which is fantastic.
Wow.
Yeah, so like I said, I think there's going to be other manufacturers that will confirm probably today as well. But you, if you are not lucky enough to attend Rolex and cannot make it by our booth, you will be able to register for the giveaway online at Riders, the number 4, helmets.com, and it's plural, Riders and Helmets is plural as well, ridersforhelmets.com. So even if you're a dedicated fan of the campaign or just want a chance to win a helmet, do visit the Riders for Helmets website from Thursday onwards and look for the giveaway tab at the top on the pages. Click that and it will take you through to where you'll be able to register starting Thursday for the big giveaway. And it's fabulous because each year, you know, we do this giveaway and then the people that win the helmets are kind enough to send us photos and cards and that kind of thing. Just to prove we really do give them away. So that's fabulous. And there's also rumors, but yet to be confirmed, that we may be giving an iPad away this year as well. But I can't talk about that until later today, but I just did.
Yeah, I was going to say, well, you just did.
There might be a chance to win an iPad too. So watch this space. That's ridersforhelmets.com, and we will certainly have all the details on there later in the week. And I love going to Rolex and being there and having a booth, because we get so many fabulous supporters of the campaign. Some of them that have really supported the campaign since its beginning in 2010 come by the booth and they say, oh, your post on Facebook about this, or I read your article on the website about this. And it's so nice to meet real people. And then they realize it's actually me that's the one behind Riders for Helmets as well, which is kind of cool. So it's really nice to talk to people at the show.
And, you know, it's the word, I remember this is about 2 years ago, the word just went out about the giveaway. And after word of mouth started going around, you guys were just swamped the whole weekend with people signing up. And then last year, I think people just know now that they go there and they sign up for the helmet giveaway. But you gave away a ton of helmets. It wasn't just like there's two helmets there. There were like 20 or 30,
I think we had 50 helmets last year, I believe.
Yeah, it was a large amount of helmets. That's pretty.
Yeah, so we'll see if we can match that this year. We're still in communication with a few helmet manufacturers, so come Thursday we'll have the final number. But either way, we're going to be giving a great number of helmets away, and like I say, it's a chance to come by the booth, see the helmets that will be on display as well, because we'll have them on display. So you can actually see the kinds of helmets that are on the market with no pressure to obviously buy, because Riders for Helmets doesn't sell helmets, but you get to try them on and look at the different designs and that kind of thing. Talk with us about safety, share your stories with us, and take away safety brochures as well. So if you have a group or a club and you want to come and get some safety brochures to give out to members of your group, that's a great chance to come and get hold of some of those too.
You're fading out on us here a bit, so before we talk about Helmets Awareness Day, I'm going to have you give us a call back, because you're fading in and out a little bit there, Lindsay. So just give us a call back, and we'll talk a little bit about Helmet Awareness Day 2014 coming up here very shortly. You know, I'm so glad that she has the opportunity to go, because eventing is one of the sports that really has supported helmets. They supported it before it was mandatory and required it before it was mandatory from the regulatory bodies. Mm-hmm. So It really has been one of those. Geez, you wore a helmet years ago. You were wearing one of the first helmets that came out.
Well, yeah,
Pony Club
really pioneered that whole, there needs to be some kind of a standard. And, of course, eventing jumped right on the bandwagon. What I find interesting is eventing, it makes sense. It's a relatively hazardous sport. Yet racing, probably the most hazardous sport out there when you're riding a horse, besides maybe rodeo, an incredible amount of pushback when it comes to implementing safety equipment rules. And culturally, there's a lot of pushback. Oh, you know, you get a lot of ribbing on the backside if you're wearing a safety helmet versus one of the more traditional looking ones. And I find that very interesting that culturally that pushback is there. So it's interesting. We talk all the time about the pushback you get from the Western community, but it's not exclusive to that discipline. There are a lot of disciplines out there that you don't hear about as often because they're smaller, or that because they are less publicly noticeable. There's still a lot of pushback for the use of safety equipment in riding disciplines.
Well, and that's why, Lindsay, you're back?
I am back.
Okay.
Can't get rid of me that easily.
Well, we hope you have a little better connection now. So that's why you do a Helmet Awareness Day. Tell us about that one coming up, and how many years has that been going on?
Oh, my gosh. Helmet Awareness Day was also implemented for the first year in 2010 as well. And I should stress that the first year we did it, it was called National Helmet Awareness Day because it was just in the U.S. and we did have, in fairness, a couple of Canadian retailers as well. But we subsequently changed its name to International Helmet Awareness Day, which is obviously an annual event on the calendar now. In 2011, its second year, in which we had four countries participate. And last year, we had a record over 700 equestrian retailers in eight countries participate. And what the day basically is, for those of you that don't know, is Riders for Helmets basically got together and talked with all of the helmet manufacturers and said, listen, you know, we want a day where people kind of have events in their store, kind of really highlight safety, and all of these retailers in these various countries can highlight safety because, you know, you go in a tack shop, in fairness, and you might look at helmets, but there's not necessarily a stress on safety or an aspect of safety when you go in there. So it gives the retailers a chance to really talk about safety to their customers. We again provide brochures and support literature that is distributed in the stores. And on top of that, the best part being, the helmet manufacturers very kindly agree to provide a one-day-only very special discount on helmets, and that ranges anywhere from 10 to 20% off. And we had 16 different helmet manufacturer brands participate last year, which, was another record. And literally, you can go in the store or you can go online, Online, be careful because you have to really try the helmet on elsewhere to make sure of the fit. But you can have a chance to purchase a helmet at a discount, a significant discount, because that really is, they don't offer very often, really good offers on helmets. So it's a chance for whether you just want to go out and buy a new helmet because you've seen one that looks really cool, or you know you should have replaced your helmet because you've taken a tumble, and even though you can't physically see damage, there may very well be damage to the helmet, so you know you should have replaced it and you haven't, it's a great chance to go get one. Or if you, just want to add another helmet to your line, you might have a helmet that you really like, but you're looking for a different look, it's a chance to get a new helmet as well. So this is an event that I'm still shocked, even though we're the ones that organize it, that this continues to go from strength to strength every year. I mean, 700 retailers is a lot of retailers in eight countries that got behind this in 2013. And we are just so blown away that there's so much support for this globally and that it's continuing to go from strength to strength. And I hope this year, you know, we at least hit that same number of participating retailers and we maybe even get 10 countries on board, which would be really nice. Let's try and up it and keep it growing globally each year.
Do we have a date yet, Lindsay?
We are not quite ready to announce the date yet, which is what I was going to say, because we have to, in fairness, we have an agreement with the helmet manufacturers. It will be announced very, very soon on ridersforhelmets.com. And we have our own International Helmet Awareness Day section. that tells you all the details about the events, the helmet brands that are participating. There's even a retailer map where you can plug in your address, and no matter where you are in the globe, it'll tell you where your nearest participating retailer is, which is fabulous. So we will be announcing that soon. We're just not quite ready to go public with the date just yet, but it's coming very, very soon. So keep watching RidersForHelmets.com or the Riders for Helmets Facebook, and we will be announcing the details for this year's event.
I've heard numbers from some of the retailers on the numbers of helmets they sell. It is incredible how many helmets are sold that day. It would be interesting to get a tally from all those retailers on how many helmets are sold that day, because it's in the thousands and thousands and thousands.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And, you know, and we get feedback on why people actually go and buy a helmet as well. And the vast majority are because probably somebody did have a little bang on the head and know better, but, you know, because of the cost of helmets, sometimes they haven't gone and got it replaced, even though they know they really should have done. So I would say the vast majority do really go and purchase helmets because, you know, it's taken a bang or a knock, and although you can't see the damage, they may need a new one. And, you know, in fairness, there are some people that just want just a new helmet or a new look, but I would say, you know, a lot of people do really go out and replace them because in the back of their minds they're like, I did do something to the helmet and I really should have gone and replaced it.
Very good. Well, this episode is sponsored by High Visibility North America, the exclusive distributor for UK's number one high visibility performance sportswear range for equestrians, horses, and canines, and they are having a spring promotion. Don't miss a chance to grab their eye-catching and fashionable Aspie jackets for as low as $50, which normally retail for $115. The entire range is not only functional, and it will keep you safe, whether riding in the woods, on the road, out in the trail, but it's also fashionable, meaning everyone from eventers to dressage and Western riders love it. Jennifer and I wear our safety vests every time we ride around the neighborhood here in Florida. The range has everything from winter jackets to lightweight vests suitable for year-round, and has already appeared on riders such as Dan James, Road to the Horse Champion 2012, and Kim Gentry, FEI dressage rider at Dressage at Devon. Visit highvisibilitysportswear.com to check out the promotion and for the tremendous discounts. Will we see any of the high visibility products at Rolex for those that are going to be there?
Yeah, they actually will be at Central Kentucky Tech down in the indoor arena. I think on the lower floor of the indoor arena.
Yep.
We'll be having the high visibility range at Rolex, so you can check them out there. And I think we're just going to have a few examples up in the Riders for Helmets booth as well. But definitely you will be able to find them at Central Kentucky Tech.
Okay, and good company, Central Kentucky Tech. I got to meet them. I had never met them. You know, in all the times I lived at in Lexington, we never got there. So it was good to meet them. I met them at Road to the Horse. Nice people over there.
Yeah, they are super nice people, really nice people. It's actually owned by a veterinarian, the tack shop. I don't know if you knew that.
And it's located at the training track, right?
It is. It's out on Paris Pike on the training track, yep.
That's only about 3-4 miles from the Kentucky Horse Park, actually.
Yep,
it is.
Yeah.
It's really close. All right, so we have our first guest ready for us today. You want to introduce him?
Yeah, we have today, with much fanfare, international event rider Boyd Martin. And as some of our listeners may know, Boyd is married to Silver Martin, who herself is very acclaimed in the horse world. She's the lead dressage rider and trainer. And Boyd recently had an accident while out riding. And also, Silver was involved in an accident in a fall down in Florida. So basically we're going to invite them both onto the show this morning, find out how they're doing, and they're going to tell us about what the prognosis is for the both of them and what they've been up to and what's going on.
Good morning, Boyd.
Hey, good morning. How are you, Glenn?
Good. How are you doing? It sounds like you're out riding. You're not riding, are you?
No, I've ridden one this morning, though. I'm slowly getting back into it.
Are
I
you?
Broke my leg a couple of weeks ago, and, it's been a bit frustrating, but slowly getting back into it, walking pretty good now, and hopefully be back to normal in a couple of weeks.
Terrific. Lindsay?
So you must be a bit gutted to be missing out on Rolex, Boyd.
Yeah, it's a real shame, actually, because I had basically four really, really good horses. that were could have been very, very competitive in I had Sir Donovan, Otis Barbosier, Shamwari Four, and Trading Aces, and they were all sizzling basically in the preparation events. And at Southern Pines, unfortunately, I was riding a young advanced horse of mine called Steady Eddie, and we had a glance off at a big corner, and I tried to keep him straight, and unfortunately, my leg got pinned up against the corner, so managed to break my tibia in half. So it's had a surgery, and they plonked a rod down the middle of my leg and threw a couple of screws in, and so it's one of those things.
You always make it sound like a piece of cake. They just put some screws in and put a few bolts here and there. I'll be back on a horse soon. You always make it sound so nice. And I posted a picture of your leg, I have to say, this morning, post-surgery, that I stole from your Facebook page, onto the Riders for Helmets this morning. And ouch is all I can say, because I look at that and it doesn't look like a piece of cake to me.
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm slowly but surely getting sick of surgeries. I've had a number of them last basically 18 months. I've had, well, 12 months actually. I broke my ankle this time last year and put a screw in that. Then I broke my arm later in the year and they put a plate in that. And now I've done my leg in. So it's a real bugger, you know.
How do you get through TSA security at the airport? They must have a field day with you.
Yeah, well, it's funny actually. You know, the when you get the wand put on you, then all the buzzers go off. But when you actually go through that, the security thing where you stand it and put your hands above your head, nothing gets set off on that. I think that basically is, if anything, outside your body. So all my pins, plates, and screws are inside my body.
You're going to be like the Bionic Man soon, aren't you?
I hope not. To be quite honest, I'm quite sick of being injured. It's not because our lifestyle is very, very active and always doing something when you're laid up like this, especially with the leg, you know, like with an arm or a collarbone, you can sort of get back a little bit sooner. And unfortunately, with a leg, it's a real, you know, slowdown sort of thing.
So I have to ask you this question because I've had several messages come through on Facebook today. It's quite graphic, but everybody wants to know, was the bone actually sticking out of your leg?
Well, there was a big hole in my leg and you could see the bone. So they called it a compound fracture, but it was actually more the cross country jump sort of dug into my leg and cut the flesh away down to the bone, I had pretty good strong leather boots on, which it sort of made its way through that. So it was pretty disappointing, you could say. Yeah.
So how long is it before we're going to see you back in the saddle? What's the prognosis?
I've had to change all my plans around a little bit. So unfortunately, we sold Sir Donovan just because we had a good offer for the horse and we were planning to sell him after Rolex. And then Trading Aces is in fantastic form and really, really fit. So Philip's going to ride him at Rolex. And then my other two big-time horses in Otis and Shamwari, I'm going to try and ride them at Jersey Fresh in the CIC 3-star and then push them on to Le Moulin 4-star, which I think if they go well there and come out of it all right, I'd be in contention, you know, for the American team for the WEG.
We hope so. We're rooting for you to be back and back and on that team. We want to see you ride for the team again.
Thank you.
So what about Silver? Because your wife, Silver, who we were explaining that, you know, is a leading dressage rider and trainer as well, she recently had an accident herself as well, didn't she, in Florida? But I'm not familiar with the details of what really happened.
Well, it was one of those things that was she was basically teaching a lesson on one of her her client's horses, and she was riding the horse, and it was a very, very quiet horse, and she was doing a little bit of piaf, and for one step, the horse stepped outside the ring, And it was, you know, those rings where the plastic sort of boards you see at competitions. And anyway, as it brought its hind leg back into the ring, it popped the board up, and then it, you know, unfortunately the horse got tangled up in the board, and the horse sort of rolled over, and she thumped her head, and had a seizure, and it was a real worry, because she got airlifted to the trauma unit, was in intensive care for a while, and but she's coming good now. It's going to take a while to get her back in business, but it was a real scare for a while, you know.
Right, and she was wearing a helmet as well, wasn't she? Because she's
she was
very
vocal
about wearing a helmet.
Yeah, I mean, she's she's always worn a helmet. You know, she didn't always actually. She was a big fan of Courtney King, and after Courtney King's accident, there wasn't a day past that day that she didn't wear a helmet. And we're very, very thankful that she was wearing a helmet, because I spoke to the neurosurgeons at the ICU there, and he said if she wasn't wearing a helmet, she'd be pretty much finished up. We're very, 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 very lucky that she does wear a helmet, and it was a bit of a scare.
And how is she doing now, Boyd? How is she?
She's getting better. She goes to therapy. She was going every day for 7 hours. Now she's down to 3 days a week. For 5 hours, and so you know, three big things were her balance was no good, and her speech was all delayed, and her vision is all blurry. Now her speech and her balance is way, way better, but her vision's still struggling a little bit. So that's sort of the biggest challenge at the moment, is to get her vision back to normal. I mean, I'm pretty confident she'll be back to 100%, but it's
right.
Well, let's just say I'd rather have a broken leg than a head injury. It just seems like it's a longer road to get back, you know.
Absolutely, and we were all thinking of her and praying for her every day, because we want her here back. Yeah, in the saddle and 100% back as well. So, you know, in kind of wrapping up, I mean, you guys are both brilliant advocates of safety, but I think both of your accidents, although very different, you know, they do really stress the need for whether it's helmets or body protectors, air vests, whatever. It's so important, isn't it, all the safety gear? And can you just kind of give us your final thoughts from kind of both of you on the safety gear side?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And it's funny, you know, like I personally would fall off maybe 3 or 4 times a month, you know, and I've been doing that for the last 15 years, you know, and Silver, since I've known her, the last 10 years has only had 3 falls, and this was her 3rd fall, and it was terrible. So it's sort of, you know, I think if you're riding horses, you've got to accept the fact that there's an element of danger in there, and you're going to fall off. You know, it's part of it, and when you do fall off, you've got to be protected, because it can happen when you least expect it. You know, like with Silver, it was the quietest horse, you know, and it was basically a lesson horse, and you know, the horse wasn't nasty, or she wasn't having an argument with her. It was just one of those things.
Right, and they do. I mean, accidents happen every day, and, you know, just like with Courtney's accident, you know, her horse was walking and tripped, you know. I mean, it does happen, and certainly we don't, you know, we're not trying to say that there's no element of risk there, but we're just so, so, so very pleased that Silver was wearing a helmet, because, like you say, I think, you know, the situation would have been far worse. And thank you so much for coming on the show today to kind of give us an update on both of you, and we hope your leg heals soon, and we certainly hope that Silver is back with a full recovery as well, and we're thinking of her and praying for her, and she's got the support of everybody with Riders for Helmets as well.
Yeah, fantastic, guys. Well, thanks for having me on, and have a good day.
We'll see you this
you
weekend,
so much,
Boyd.
All right, then. Cheers, guys.
Well, there you go. There's the update on Boyd and Silva. Sounds like Silva's making improvements, but boy, you know, as we learned with so many of our friends, Tammy and several others, it's a long road to hoe when you have a head injury.
It is. And Boyd is so such a positive, great person. And I'm fortunate enough that I've met Silva previously as well. And they're both such wonderful, wonderful people. You can, you know, they're like the dream couple, aren't they? They're just so wonderful together and so outgoing and friendly. And I really do hope both of them. I hope Boyd maybe wraps himself in cotton wool and maybe gets an extra vest for his, I don't know, for his legs. and certainly hope to see Silva making a full recovery as well. And like Boyd says, it does take time. And, you know, we wish them both the best and praying for both of them as well.
Well, you know, when he said it hits home, when you hear him say he falls off 3 or 4 times a month, you know, for the last 10 years, and that's normal for an eventer. That's not something that's exceptional because they're always pushing the limits. And when you're training these horses and getting them up and going, and probably most of those falls were not at, 1, 2, 3-star events. They're at the lower levels as you're getting the horses brought up. It just happens. And boy, it's tough, though. I thank God for the air vest, too. I mean, the air vest has saved a lot of people a lot of broken ribs.
You know, and isn't that the difference, kind of just as you distressed as well? I mean, literally, he said Silver in that same time period has fallen off 3 times. So, you know, that's the difference between the disciplines in general. You know, you are, obviously, as we know, Courtney's accident, Silver's accident, you're not immune from having an injury, even a one that's, you know, a relatively obscure and never imagined it would have happened in both of their cases. But, you know, the event riders really are pushing the limits, aren't they? And they're the ones that have definitely a greater risk of injury, and we're so thankful for all the safety gear. And so many of them now are riding in helmets in the dressage phase as well, which is fabulous, because I think, you know, Alison Springer started that trend off at Rolex, I believe it was 2010, and I think more than half of the competitors in the dressage phase at Rolex last year were wearing helmets too, so that's really changing, because it's still
not
cool at that level.
I think you're gonna see 90% of them this year. I think you'll see most of them this year. I think, you know, it's what we talked about before, you know, years ago when you and I had a chat about this. You truly are changing a culture, you're changing a perception, and you're changing tradition. But once you get past that point, once you're years into it and you've got most people wearing helmets and it becomes the thing to do, it just becomes it becomes a thing that you do as part of your normal day, then this whole discussion, we will not be even having it in 10 years.
Absolutely. Well, let's hope so. I mean, you know, the thing about Riders for Helmets is, as much as we talk about the legislation that's passed by the congressman, Riders for Helmets is not political in the sense that we try and influence legislation. We are an educational campaign, and I do stress that because sometimes we do get flack from people that say, oh, you're all about rule changes and the law and you should let people make up their own minds. And, you know, we still do get those emails. They're the minority, and the vast majority are very supportive of what we're doing. But the campaign is really educational in nature, in that we try and share articles and videos and stories, interviews like this with Boyd talking about Silva's accident and how she would have perhaps not been here had she not been wearing a helmet. And if we could just get that message out, you'd be amazed how it does change people's perception. I mean, we still get emails, and I tell Courtney this all the time, from people that are, you know, perhaps grandmas, and they've ridden for many, many years. And finally, after reading so many articles or watching a video on the Riders for Helmets website, they've gone and bought their first ever helmet, and they're in the 60s, you know. So we get those emails, and it's so heartwarming that, you know, if you think you can perhaps just reduce the risk for one person, because helmets do not make you immune. They cannot prevent every kind of conceivable head injury, but certainly they do reduce the risk, and they can and do save lives, and that is very apparent by the stories we share on a daily basis. But, you know, it's so nice to think that at least you, by education, have had a big influence. And gosh, I can't even add up the number of people that have visited Riders for Helmets and watched videos or, like I say, read the articles and gone and bought their first helmets, but it's a very high number at this point, over 4 years. So that's really, really encouraging that even 4 years down the line, and I was having this conversation with somebody the other day, I can't believe the campaign's still going so strong. You know, 50,000 visitors to the website a month, the FBI last year stepped up and very kindly officially endorsed International Helmet Awareness Day and really is behind the campaign and even put Riders for Helmets in some of their sticky adverts that they put out last year, which was wonderful. So it's still going on, and I've said all along that as long as it's making Courtney's accident, you know, giving meaning to that, we'll keep it going. Sometimes when I work on it very late at night and I'm very tired and grouchy, I wonder why I say that.
You've said it before. You're the one that has spearheaded it and kept it going, and the horse world owes you a debt of gratitude for that as well. So we appreciate all of your efforts that way. You know, I'm looking here, I'm seeing so many posts in the last hour coming in since we started the show, coming in from eventers who are making their way to the Kentucky Horse Park. Jessica Phoenix, by the way, has arrived with her horses, and she arrived overnight and is now there. She posted this morning. Sinead Halpin is on her way. She posted pictures of driving and listening to bad music. So all of them, it's interesting, Selena O'Hanlon is on her way as well. So, and
yeah,
posted pictures.
Hawley Bennett posted photos of Gin and Juice getting on a plane. And I love Hawley's little videos that she takes with her phone. So Gin and Juice was being loaded onto the plane yesterday, I believe, and Hawley posted that on Facebook. So I know she's en route to Rolex as well.
You know, it's so much fun to have new media now because, you know, sometimes you think about these big riders, you know, everything happens for them and, you know, they got grooms and all this stuff. They go through the same things everybody else does when trying to get to an event. They still have to pack all the crap. They still have to drive the 15 hours to get there. You know, they have to do the same things everybody else has to do.
Absolutely.
And they, you know, and they get as excited about it as anybody. You know, there's 50,000 people excited about going to Lexington this weekend. But, you know, there's 78 people who are really excited about it. And I love their posts. It's just so cute to see them, actually.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't, you know, and cross country is something else, isn't it? You go up to those fences and you're like, they must be complete mental for getting around that cross country.
It's true. And you used to ride. I mean, you rode. You invented.
The only word you can use is mental when you see the size of those fences.
I would look at the next level up and go, oh, that's getting big. And then, you know, then you see these things, and they're taller than I am. It's like, are you kidding me?
Absolutely. And that's one thing I will say is, you know, if there's listeners out there that are perhaps horse husbands and have not been to Rolex, you really should go because the cross country, whether you're a horse person or not, I don't care who you are, is very, very impressive. I mean, you cannot fail to be impressed by the horses going over some of those fences. You really can't. It's breathtaking. And, you know, it's a brilliant day out. So I highly encourage everybody to go to Rolex.
If you're a horse person, it should be on your bucket list for sure. And what you can do, here's the plan. You arrive on Thursday evening, get your hotel, go out to dinner. You go over Friday morning, you drop your wife off at the park so she can watch dressage during the day, but you have no interest in it as a horse husband. So you drop her off to watch dressage
during the
day. I
don't either, because it's like watching paint dry.
It is. But then you do what Jennifer and Jamie and I are going to do on Friday. You head over to Keeneland and you watch the races. So the husband can go, you know, put a few bucks down on the last day of the races over at Keeneland. Have a good time over there. You know, have an alcoholic beverage or two. Go pick the wife back up.
I didn't know you were doing that. So I'm coming with you.
Yes, you're more than welcome to come. Yeah, we're going to do our show Friday morning, Horses in the Morning at 9 a.m. Eastern. We'll be coming to you from right near Lindsay, actually, in the old indoor arena. That arena has a name, but I don't think anybody knows what it is. It's always just the old indoor arena. But anyway, we're going to be there at 9 a.m., and then Then Jamie and Jennifer are going shopping for a couple hours while I pack everything up, and then we're all heading out to Keeneland for the day. So you'll have to come along. That'll be fun.
Absolutely. Yes.
It's either that or I have to stay and watch a second day of dressage, so I'm choosing Keeneland. Oh. Thank you very much. And don't forget, listener meetup for all the Horse Radio Network listeners on Friday or Saturday morning at Cross Country Day, half an hour before the start of Cross Country at Jump Number 1. We'll have five different hosts from the Horse Radio Network there. We hope you can stop by, as well as Leslie from Horse Nation will be stopping by, and a few other of our friends. So if you want to meet everybody, just join us for we can walk a couple of jumps together and then head off to our respective corners of the cross country course on Saturday. So that's what's going on. Sunday morning we'll be back live at 9 a.m.
And you can meet yours truly, one of the faces behind Riders for Helmets and the old indoor arena and the Riders for Helmets booth as well. And I have a very special request, because I very, very rarely ask the Riders for Helmets supporters for anything, or anybody indeed for anything. So I'm going to ask
that is
a
true.
Special request to all the listeners of Horses in the Morning today. We are 50 followers away on Facebook from hitting the magic 20,000. 50 followers away. So if the Horses in the Morning followers, and I'm also asking the Riders for Helmets followers to go follow the Horses in the Morning page, but if the Horses in the Morning followers would please go and like the Riders for Helmets Facebook page today so we can push that over 20,000, I'd be very grateful, because we're coming up almost on Rolex will be our fourth anniversary of founding the Riders for Helmets campaign, and it would make me really, really happy if by this weekend we can go over 20,000 followers. That would be a very big personal achievement to me. So I'm asking a favor for everybody today to go follow the Riders for Helmets page on Facebook.
I already did. I can't like it again. I wish you could like things more than once. I guess if I unlike it and like it again, that doesn't help, does it?
No, it doesn't. No. Nice thought, though.
Well, we're going to wrap up a little bit early here today. Lindsay has a lot of things. She has to get over to the horse park and get everything set up for the weekend. And Jennifer and I have some packing to do. We're going to be here live tomorrow morning. Jamie will be here as well. And we'll be doing our live show tomorrow morning. And we'll have the EquityMFG.com Celebrity Trivia Challenge and all of our guests and all the usual Wednesday morning stuff we do. And then Jennifer and I will be hopping in the car and driving north through Georgia. So we'll be heading north to head up to the horse park. So we will be back tomorrow morning. And, of course, you can catch Lindsay the fourth Thursday of every month with the safety episode. And we appreciate you joining us and chatting. And we also appreciate you getting Boyd on today so we could find out, get the update there, too. I hadn't heard much about Silva lately, so I was glad to hear that.
Yeah, absolutely. And don't forget to go to highvisibilitysportswear.com to get your spring promotion items while they're still on sale, because they won't be for much longer.
Very good. We're going to actually play a song out today. We're going to take you out with Templeton Thompson, Love is a Rose. We'll see you, Lindsay. We'll see you in a couple days.
See you guys. Bye.
Love is a rose, but you better not pick it. Only grows when it's on the vine. Handful of thorns and you know you miss it. Lose your love when you say the word mine. I want to see what's never been seen. I want to live that.
you better not pick it. Only grows when it's on the vine. Handful of thorns and you know you missed it. Lose your love when you say the word mine.